In an article in Oprah Winfrey's O magazine, her style coach, Martha Beck, discusses her experience of what she calls party anxiety. When exposed to other people, she says the real enemies are shame, fear, and cruel judgment. Beck says she is one of the millions of party-impaired people, social phobes who dread party talk, who are petrified of saying something stupid, something that will reveal us as the jackasses we are, rather than the social maestros we wish we were. She says that she felt she needed a whole armory full of impressive weapons to survive a party. Things like cleverness, thin thighs, social connections, and wealth. Every act from choosing clothes to making small talk is a fear-based defense against criticism. We treat our shyness, self-doubt, and frequent inability to feel at ease with others as if they were purely personal psychological weaknesses, as if they were flaws built into our emotional makeup that we must cope with on our own as best we can. Because we tend to hide these insecurities from each other, we fail to see them in others. But, as we shall see, surveys suggest they are so widespread that few but the most confident escape them. Indeed, Alfred Adler, the Austrian psychoanalyst who broke away from Freud's circle early in the 20th century, saw them as so fundamental to our human makeup that he developed the concept of the inferiority complex and maintained that to be human means to feel inferior. Adler also saw what the statistics now demonstrate, that people respond to these feelings in two different ways, with shyness, low self-esteem, and sometimes social phobia, or alternatively, by hiding their insecurity under a show of self-importance, pomposity, narcissism, and snobbery. He interpreted people's attitudes of superiority as a defense against underlying feelings of inferiority. The stronger the underlying sense of inferiority, the stronger Adler thought that defense was likely to be. Behind everyone who behaves as if he were superior to others, we can suspect a feeling of inferiority which calls for very special efforts of concealment. The greater the feeling of inferiority, the more powerful is the urge to conquest and the more violent the emotional agitation. It is, of course, because these efforts of concealment are effective that we underestimate how widespread these insecurities are and imagine our own are a personal affliction. What Adler could not see simply in his patients' psychologies, but which we can see with the help of modern statistics, is that these difficulties, and with them the different forms of concealment, are in fact much more common in some societies than others. This suggests that there are powerful external factors, which we may be able to identify, that make them better or worse for all of us. Epidemiologists are trained to study the distribution and determinants of disease. They might, for example, try to identify the extent to which diseases like asthma and bronchitis are made worse by air pollution. Approaching the frequency of shyness, social anxiety, and self-doubt in this way, as if they were caused, or at least made worse, by something in the emotional or social atmosphere, may enable us to identify those causes. Though we are all used to the idea that there are pollutants and carcinogens in the environment that have to be reduced in order to diminish the burden of physical disease, we are less used to the idea of tackling harmful emotional or psychological environments. Yet, if the causes of heightened levels of social anxiety are the source of serious damage to social life and well-being, they surely warrant as much political and public attention as the air we breathe. We are a social species, and our sensitivity to each other and our ability to avoid behaviour which might offend others are necessary skills. But a normal and beneficial sensitivity to people around us is being triggered so frequently and so strongly in everyday life today that for many it has become an intensely counterproductive reaction. Feelings of insecurity are often so great that people react defensively, to even minor criticism. Others are seemingly so nervous of social interaction that they isolate themselves. We also see endless signs of the desire for the trappings of status behind which people try to hide their insecurity. The widespread lack of confidence and sense of insecurity have reached a level of intensity that makes them perhaps the most important limitation on levels of happiness and the quality of life throughout many rich societies. The answer, as we will show, is not for us all to learn to become more like the most thick-skinned. It is instead to identify and deal with the factors in society that do the damage.